Serious news, seriously entertaining. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Happy Wednesday. This portion of the Gatos and Chad Show is brought to you by Parker & Sons, Sporting Electrical, two-time winner of the Better Business Barrels Ethics Award. Very ethical.
I'm Gatos. He's Chad. Becky Lynn in the News Center. Coming up in about 10 minutes, very interesting conversation with Kathy Hoffman, Superintendent of Public Instruction. That's right. She had a new baby.
Yes.
Why could Arizona schools shut down and fire teachers? Nothing to do with COVID. It has to do with March 1st. What happens on March 1st? We're going to talk about that with Hoffman in about 8 minutes. Chad, let me play you something from the very popular Mike Broomhead show. He had a gubernatorial candidate, something named Matt Salmon, on.
I'm putting out an idea of another Joe Arpaio like Tent City to incarcerate him because the border enforcement on the at the local levels, the sheriffs are saying they don't have enough jail space. So so
Salmon is a Republican, and is this one of those things? Let me just shoot my mouth off and say some ridiculous thing.
Of course.
I'm sure Gatos and Chad will pick this up and talk about it. So let's actually break it down and give it a shot. Okay, we'll give it a chance. A tent city, Joe Arpaio style, on the border.
Is everybody going to have to wear pink?
Pink underwear, green baloney. You could bring it all back if you want.
But it's border, so should we get everybody that you have to wear the flag of the country you're from?
Oh, it's not a bad idea.
Right? So if you're Haitian, that's right. Or salmon, that's a good one, too. Everybody's got to wear little salmon shirts. But think about this.
Salmon?
Yeah. If you're
like very pinkish?
Like Mr. Salmon.
I like it.
What about if you're from Haiti, you got to wear a Haiti full jumpsuit, and
okay,
if you're from Ecuador, you got to wear an Ecuadorian.
Sure,
if you're
sure
Mexico
not,
or whatever, yeah, that shouldn't
cost us very much.
A dumb idea this is.
Let's play it again. Matt Salmon, he is thinking about resurrecting Arpaio's tent city on the border.
I'm putting out an idea of.
You know, it's always funny.
I'm putting out an idea.
No, you hear this a lot. So he's being interviewed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, I'm going to float this thing out there. He's got like a little note. All these politicians, left or right, it doesn't matter. They got a little note. He's like, all right, I got to squeeze this tent city in it. And he just, what do you call it? Him and Hom? Is that what you call it? So he really doesn't want to say what it is.
He just, yeah, him and Hom. And he just took a flyer. Let's take a flyer on this
kind
one.
Kind of stumbles out of the gate.
I'm
not sure, but maybe I'll do this. I'm not sure, but.
I'm putting out an idea of another Joe Arpaio like tent city to incarcerate him because the. Border enforcement on the, at the local levels, the sheriffs are saying they don't have enough jail space. So, anyway.
And you want to move on.
Oh, Pioville.
Good.
Like back in, for those of you who don't know anything about history, Andersonville was probably the worst place we had in our history of where they stuck the likes of, Civil War soldiers. So we'll call this Pioville because he's very excited about it.
The optics of putting people from another country, even though they shouldn't be here, putting them in some smelly, dirty tent in the middle of the desert, the optics of that isn't good. Give me a pro. Let's do a list. I mean, if the guy's got it,
Pro is at least he's talking about the border.
All right.
And then the rest of it is the expense. I thought we weren't supposed to get in, in a position where the state agencies and local are dealing with the feds in certain ways. But here we go. Who's going to be manning this? How much is that going to cost us? And
right,
who gets to man this thing? And it's the understanding of it is, look, and in many ways, it's kind of like the cages that
they
are camps now.
We have holding cells.
Yeah, but they're not. There's too many of them.
Right, but then why are you going to want to make a tent city? The tent city would hold people who are either sneaking over the border illegally, or they're coming here and they're
are you making it a process
claiming
center?
Asylum,
where you
which
just,
is legal.
Yeah, but are you not anymore? It's not in theory, right? Remember, because the stay in Mexico thing has been reenacted,
right?
So,
but we know that's not being used by Biden, yeah, even though this is a very good tool that he could use. He is ignoring it and trying to get it overturned again. So, yeah, I mean, people are claiming asylum right as we speak, right at the border right now. So what would happen? They go into one of these processing centers. They already have that. So
the whole thing is
you put a tent up. That's what is that going to do?
Because the sometimes they keep these people in places,
right,
cells and stuff, and there's not enough of them. So you're staying there much longer now. They're releasing you. Mm-hmm. There is no, until that guy that's still talking, Biden and them, get serious about fixing the problem, there's no fix for one singular state that is going to be able to do anything because it's a Fed problem.
Well, Ducey in a State of the State said he's made a deal with Texas. And they're going to try and figure something out between the two of them. I don't know how that's really going to work, how they're going to pay for it.
It sounds good, but
it sounds good, and that's it, yeah.
It's a wish list of crap that you're not going to get done because you can't.
So Matt Salmon is like, hey, listen, I'm going up against crazy. I got to say something crazy.
Yeah.
I've got to come up, how about this? Here's some red meat. let's rebuild Tent City. There's a reason. Let me tell you something. Tent City, for a period of time, I never had a problem with.
No.
But it does come a time where you say, okay, is it still working? Do we still need it? Is it fiscally responsible? And the answer at the end was no.
No.
So it was disassembled. But did it serve its purpose? I think it did at the very beginning.
Listen, I think it did at the very beginning. Then it became something like where everybody joked about being
course,
a tent city, and it wasn't
course.
Anything real. And you weren't going to tent. You were uncomfortable because it was hot at night. It was cold.
Right.
You weren't going there, and people, oh, my God, it's just wrong the way they treat people. It's who was going there? I mean, you weren't sending mass murderers
there. I'll tell
there.
You who was going there. If you got a DUI, you were going to tent city.
There
There's a
go.
Decent chance you went there.
There you go. But this
and you know
right
you,
here,
you get, and I know some people who got thrown in tent city. They get a DUI. So you know what happened? They went to work, right, during the day at where their regular workplace. Then they got driven, can't drive yourself. Then you got driven and you were dropped off and you spent the night at Tent City. And then your husband or wife, girlfriend or parent, they'd come and get you the next day. So you would just spend the night and you know, and then you'd go to work the next day and you have to come back. So was it a deterrent? Yes, I think it was a deterrent for a period
at the beginning,
of time.
But then it became kind of hokey. And it became one of those situations where you sat there and it became campy and it wasn't really what it was meant to be.
Yeah.
So
all right.
People have moved on from
that. So
a no.
Tent City being rebuilt at the border, Matt Salmon running for governor.
Yes.
That's a hard no.
It's a hard no
on
that. It's a hard pass.
Okay.
Again, you're not part of the Feds.
All right. Coming up next.
Coming up!
Arizona schools might have to shut down or fire teachers, and it has nothing to do with COVID. What is the deal?
Oh, thank God. We're firing people for other reasons now.
We're going to tell you that next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
You're locked in to the Gatos and Chad Show.
Arizona schools might have to shut down or even fire teachers. It has nothing to do with COVID. What does all this mean? Well, here to explain it to us, Chad, she's also a new mom.
A new mom.
State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Kathy Hoffman, joins us. State Superintendent, is that baby sleeping right now? Is that why you called us? Is that why we've got a couple minutes with you?
She is sleeping. Hopefully we have a few more minutes to go.
All right. Well, what does this all mean? There's a March 1st deadline, and it deals with the legislature, and it deals with Arizona schools shutting down, firing teachers if nothing is done. What is the deal? Because there are parents out there that are ripping their hair out saying, what's going on?
As they should be. This is extremely frustrating that this is still hanging in the air for our schools. So basically, there's this old law from 1980 that creates this spending cap for our school districts, and only school districts, not charters, because back in 1980, we didn't have charter schools.
Okay.
So this law back in 1980 limits how much school districts can spend on an annual basis. And if we don't take action by March 1st, our school districts will be facing a combined total of $1.2 billion in cuts, which would ultimately cause major, major cuts for school districts. And actually, our rural school districts would even be the most hard hit by this because it would be such a huge cut proportionally out of their budgets. It would impact every single school district in Arizona. There's no way that our schools can operate with having to take this type of cut, and it would ultimately result in school closures and or staffing cuts in a way that's truly not operational for our school district. So we must come to a solution, and the sooner the better.
So if I read it right, you guys have the money in the accounts, but you need permission to spend it. And they are now in a position of where they have to figure out how to get back to whatever it is that needs to get done. What is their solution?
Are
they even working on it? Yeah, the legislators, are they even working on anything?
Yes, a bill has already been introduced by Representative Pollack. We need both Republican and Democratic support on this because it will take a two-thirds vote to come to solution. But Representative Pollock has already introduced a bill that's a clean repeal because, honestly, we don't need this in the future. So it's best to just repeal it, not have to deal with this again, not kick the can down the road, so to speak, just to repeal this. Because, as you said, this money has already been allocated. These are our tax dollars that have already been allocated for our schools. And so they just need permission to spend what has already been allocated to them.
What would happen to the money? They don't take it back, right? It just sits there until they get this sorted out, right?
So actually, we've never not been able to solve this before. Nobody's sure what happens to the money. Does it go back to the general fund? Does it just hang there in limbo? There's actually not a clear-cut explanation because it's never happened before. Because typically, the legislature has been able to either increase the cap. We typically don't face this issue year to year. This is an unusual issue that we've even come to this point.
All right. State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Kathy Hoffman, is joining us. Arizona schools could lose $1.1 billion with a B dollars. The way to get this all solved is the legislature coming together, figuring it out. They've got to do it by March 1st. That's the deadline to get something done. You said that this has never been a problem before. Why are we worried that this won't get done then?
I'm worried this year because of how divisive politics have become. Even in the beginning of the pandemic, there was a lot more will I saw from our lawmakers to work together to get things done on behalf of our public education system. But this is an election year. I'm seeing a lot of political maneuvering. I am seeing Republican legislators putting out comments that they would rather see more privatization of our schools. And they're using this as a political maneuvering method. We need to stop playing games and take the politics out of this. And our schools are still in crisis from this Omicron variant of the pandemic and trying to keep their schools open when they're having severe staffing shortages due to COVID. We need to take the stress off the table. Our schools are already dealing with enough. We need to just get this done, make it a top priority for the beginning of the legislative session. And unfortunately, I haven't heard a commitment to get it done like that from both sides.
When will you start to get really worried? You know, because as we all know, government loves to leave stuff to the last moment. Then they love to pass something and then pat each other on the back as if they did something miraculous.
Which
is basically their job. We saved the day.
Yeah.
They set fire to a house, then put the fire out and say, look at us. When will you start to go, this fire's getting out of control and I don't think they're going to be able to do this?
Well, the deadline is March 1st. That's exactly what I'm worried about, is that this will, you know, we saw what happened with the budget last year. They waited till the absolute last minute, and it got to the point where we were worried about a state government shutdown or even budget cuts because of their inability to get it done in a timely manner. And so that's my concern, is this should be the very first thing they get done. It's just a clean repeal, so we don't have to worry about this anymore.
Right.
Get on with the rest of the legislative session. But I'm already worried that it's going to get delayed to the very last second.
Omicron is almost done with Arizona. It's supposed to blow in. It certainly has. It's supposed to blow out, which apparently it will in a couple weeks. And you guys have remained open the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
How has that happened?
Really, by the hard work of our teachers and school staff and school leaders, it's really a tremendous achievement that they've been able to stay open. I know that families have been feeling the impact of the difficulties that our schools are facing. You know, things like the bus routes are delayed constantly because of the bus driver shortage. I know some classrooms have been combined and teachers are taking on double the workload to be able to teach more than one class and cover for their colleagues. Sports cancellations. So I know families and our schools have really been feeling the impact, but truly just the incredible hard work and achievements of our teachers and school staff. They've just gone above and beyond, and I can't say enough of really they're the heroes of this new year already of 2022 to be able to keep schools open so as they have.
Yeah, I would have liked to have heard something like that in Ducey's State of the State. I know you would have liked to have heard that too.
Yes, that was very disappointing to hear such a hostile and divisive tone in his State of the State when he really should be uplifting teachers and doing everything he in his power to help keep our schools open, even things like hazard pay or calling on the National Guard to help with the bus driver shortage. There's so many solutions out there, but I didn't hear that in his state of the state.
But you also said earlier, it's a political year. And as we all know, what do? Come on, Kathy, you're in the politic world now. You're running for stuff. You got to go over and feed the hand and that feeds you and back and forth. And that's the frustrating thing is we just in a situation like that, you should say, screw it. We're all in this together. Hey, nurses, doctors, teachers, everybody, well done.
Yep.
But in this day and age, it's tough because Twitter comes after people.
I completely agree. There's way too much money in politics, too much special interest groups. That's why I consider myself to be an educator leading the department rather than, you know, I try to stay out of the politics of this because that's the worst part of this job is the politics. We need to all come together in a way that's unifying to lead our state, to help, because ultimately by helping our schools, we are helping our parents and families.
All right, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Kathy Hoffman. Again, congrats on the little baby girl. Also, keep us up to date on that March 1st deadline, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So just think for like a second, what would Arizona schools look like if they lost $1.1 billion?
Yeah.
What if an AC breaks? You're sending your kid back in the heat. What about the buses that need to get fixed? We're talking safety issues. We're talking paying people, cleaning up. It's just amazing.
It's you know, but it
just
goes,
get it done.
Just get it done. But as we always know, these politicians drive me crazy because they wanted to go wait till last. I'm gonna wait till the last second, and then we're gonna ride in on our steed, and we're gonna save the day in my puffy white shirt, my flowing hair like Fabio.
Yeah. Politicians will drive you crazy, but also people who are woke, man. They just drive you.
And politicians have allowed wokeness to.
You were right.
Be insane.
And today is Woke Wednesday, and Chad will walk us through that coming up next on the Gatos and Chad Show.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News 92.3 FM.
A mashup of news, information, and entertainment. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Hey, joining us in a half hour, former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer. We're going to ask her about, does current governor, Doug Ducey, is he going to run for Senate?
What?
Well, it's GOP wants him.
Politicians never leaving politics?
Making money all the time. Are you woke? Are you well-informed? Are you now just aware, especially in political and the cultural senses? Ladies and gentlemen, it is Woke Wednesday.
Loving to get woke.
And it is time for Chad Benson.
Language is where it usually starts, right? So
right.
That's incrementalism. You've got to change the language. UCI has put out a bunch of things, changing language of things that you're not supposed to do. They want to make sure that you know these are things you should not say.
Wait, should we?
Tone deaf is a no-no. Ah! Instead, use inconsiderate, thoughtless, careless. Rather than man hours or manpower, they recommend person hours or level of effort hours.
Level of effort. So those are some of the things. My favorite one, though, we've heard this one before, but they just want to reiterate this.
The guide also targets some metaphors. Kill two birds with one stone? Apparently too harmful. Instead, they say feed two birds with one scone.
Can I ask?
That was a PETA thing several years ago.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
I have to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, the my favorite of all time. You know what it is. You're not allowed to say losing your virginity.
Yes.
They want you to say it's your sexual debut.
Debut.
Like, that's so much better.
That is it.
Okay, when I hear the woke.
He or she sexually debuted everywhere.
Who is asking
UCI
people to change
phrases like, that we've
yes.
had for
who
vernacular
it,
for years.
Who is it specifically?
The University of California, Irvine.
So you're talking in this instant only?
Yes.
Yeah, so I meant overall.
Overall,
I know
it is
it's
the
way
woke generation. People that want everybody to see. It's so funny, right? Like, you know, we celebrated Martin Luther King. Here's the irony of Martin Luther King. The feds gave him a holiday, even though the feds killed him. Spied on him for years, but whatever. He want everybody, not the content of your skin, right? You know, it's about your character. Now everybody wants you to see no color, but only judge people on color, but not based on color. So you change the word. Same thing with gender. This, and I'm telling you guys this, we joke about Biden, but when you see the wokeness and stuff, and I always joked, when you hear stuff like this, you're like, this is why Trump. This is a person. We can't talk about real stuff anymore because people get offended. Medical schools are having trouble with students who are woke, who will not understand or talk about the fact that, no, that person biologically is a woman. Mm. And they're having issues with that. Listen to this.
In the coming months, I am going to be able to watch some of my best friends and some of my closest companions get the body of their dreams that matches their gender, that makes them feel happy. And in exchange, I'm going to have to give up my own. I'm cisgender. The majority of my headmates aren't. And we've decided to transition. Which means that as happy as I am for the men in my system, I am about to have to watch myself go through the wrong puberty.
She has many people living inside of her.
What?
Plenty of them are living inside of her.
Is this emotionally that...
Yes, that's what she's saying. So she has. So she's cisgender, but she's also queer, and she's a lesbian, but she's also... She has all of these people. She's not done. This is a mental... You've got a mental problem at this point.
Is it multiple personality disorder?
Well, that's...
I can't say that anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. They don't diagnose that.
Sorry.
Because you probably... Now somebody's going to be calling somebody. Here we go.
This isn't my body. These aren't my reactions or my memories. I have like 30 people living in my brain, and everything I do belongs to us as a group. That's what's so hellish about this disorder. My parents f***ed me up, and now I will never have full bodily autonomy. Anyways, everybody say congratulations to the men in my system, because they get to transition, and we're happy for them.
Hey, Becky Lynn, how many people are living in your brain?
Oh, my goodness. You don't even want to know.
I've got one, and there's plenty of room up there.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we need to get you a few more.
You know,
I literally can't even understand what she's saying.
She's
I know what she says. I know what she said, but trying to make sense of that, I can't.
By the way, that's the person that will be figuring out whether or not they're going to be serving you coffee somewhere. Will the one person who wants to serve me dinner, will that person be showing up at the table tonight, or is there somebody else?
You're so tone deaf. Oh, good.
I don't understand. What's wrong with that? I don't understand that.
Because it offends deaf people.
Yeah.
How would you know?
Oh,
did you tell anybody that? And by the way, a tone... People who play instruments, you're not hearing that note in and itself. Hmm.
Coming up next, we're going to kill two birds with one stone.
With one stone.
It's going to take a lot of manpower to do so.
Oh, my. Look at you.
I just do? Cancel.
Get down to HR right now, you cisgender person.
What's coming up next? Wednesday, everybody. Woke Wednesday.
I know. All the people living inside of that poor person. Mm. Biden sending out millions of dollars of waste. Are you excited about it? We discuss it straight ahead.
Arizona's news station. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news. Seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chad Show.
So we started the show at 2 o'clock. By bringing you President Joe Biden, its first press conference of the year. He had about 15 minutes of an opening statement.
Remember, he's an overperformer.
I know.
One of the things he said.
We took the first few questions, and so we took about a half hour of it. So that was 2 o'clock to about 2:30. He's still going up there, man. Almost 4 o'clock. You got to give the Energizer Bunny a little bit of the credit there.
Well, this is it. And he's going to probably have to sleep for a week.
So he's still up there. Is he being grilled by reporters? First few questions were pretty tough. But if you haven't done much right in your first year, you shouldn't be getting easy
questions. He's an overperformer, Gatos, even though he's got a 40% drop in his approval rate, 7% inflation, highest it's been in, 40 years.
I know.
Dead voting rights bill, a woeful Afghanistan withdrawal, a debacle at the border. You've got supply chain issues. And, oh, by the way, the 5G rollout today sucked. Let's not pretend about that.
Are we blaming him on that one?
Well, the FAA, but, you know.
I can't argue what you just said.
And let's not forget when it comes to COVID, he's got a lot of people vaccinated, even though more people have died. So, and that's based on the numbers that he had, he should have resigned. Remember what he said? Hey, you've had 400,000 people die on your watch. You need to quit.
Yeah, but if they don't want the vaccine, it's not Joe Biden's fault. You don't want the vaccine, you probably, you know, there's a chance that you're going to, you know, get really
sick.
Not
everybody, it's still 400,000 people have died on, his watch. You need to quit. Well, it's the same thing. It's not been a good year. He should have come out and said, look, this was a dumpster fire.
You can't do that.
I'm doing a mulligan, right? Mulligan. For those of you who don't know, it's like I get another shot. It doesn't count. That shot didn't count. This shot does. So 2022 is my year.
Hey, it would have been refreshing if he came out and said, listen, this has been a disaster.
So like that guy, maybe I can vote for a little bit for that guy. This guy, not so much.
Oh, he's still up there. You want to dip in for a second?
Let's dip in.
No,
let's
me
see
neither.
What he's
I don't
doing.
Want to do that.
Oh,
you stop it. I don't want to.
Well, the good stuff is when people are asking him questions, because that's when you're going to get the and then he starts telling stories, right? Once he go off script, once he ad-libs, next thing you know, he's talking about corn nut and pop nut.
He's not talking about pop. He's
what
not.
Was that guy's name? Like, yeah, whatever
corn,
it was.
Yeah.
Corn pop?
I don't
Corn pop was like, that was a bad dude.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so he's been up there for almost 2 hours.
Well past his bedtime.
Well past. It's back east. It's almost 7 o'clock, man. Almost 7. All right.
Probably, when are they serving at Denny's? We missed a coupon?
Here's what I'd like. Here's what I'd like. I'd like that he got these free COVID tests sent out. It's something.
It's
we
great.
Really.
So
I mean, I'm just saying, there's not a lot to cheer about from this administration yet. This is something that's pretty good. It takes one little thing off my plate. I don't have to go and search for one if I need a test. I'm going to take my 4 free tests. I'm going to stick them in the medical cabinet, and I'm going to leave
somewhere.
It.
I'll tell you that right now.
I'm just saying, because you can't find them anywhere. So this is. And this is how low the bar is set. I like this part of it. I think this is pretty good. I like it. Give me a couple free tests.
Here's
just
a question.
In case.
You and I have been watching this because it's on 3 of the screens.
Well,
CNBC's
still up
finally
there.
Jumped the ship and said we're just going to commercial.
Well, we jumped the ship after a half an hour.
What is up with the closing the eyes like he's praying?
I don't know.
That is.
Can't you just answer what up my question?
Yeah,
that it's, I said?
Yeah, that,
is
so you're
really
excited
that
about your sweet
all,
4
yes,
free tests.
Yes.
Mike, doesn't take a lot to please
no,
you, brother.
No, it does not.
4 free
All right.
tests.
How about the masks that he's going to send?
What a joke that is.
That's no. stupid, if you ask me.
No, and it's probably going to end up in the ocean, and then blue whales are going to die, and it's all going to come back.
Turtles.
Right. Turtles.
Right. You do see the masks everywhere, like a playground.
They're all floating around. They're blowing around. It's like one of those apocalyptic scenes as they fly around the little parking lot there, and you're like,
How many is he going to send out?
400 million?
So you're going to use it once, because that's really what you're supposed to do, and then you throw it away.
And by the way,
you'll use it for one day.
Everybody's been told that the little medical masks don't work, and yet every reporter I see asking questions in a cloth mask or a medical mask that doesn't work, one of those dental hygienist ones.
Right. I think they work, but maybe not against Omicron.
They don't work against Omicron.
No.
Well, according to South Africa today, they said, hey, by the way, if you got a booster, it doesn't help. It doesn't do anything. You can't stop this.
Well, he's still up there.
Oh, he's looking at his watch.
He looked at his watch.
You got served.
Hey, he's like, listen, I've been up here for 2 hours. Freaking tired.
I gotta go.
Oh, that was it.
I gotta go take my meds.
All right, it's time for us to go. Hey, coming up next, does Governor Brewer think Governor Ducey should run for Senate?
Go get my Jetto.
There he goes. Gatos and Chad Show.